Let me ask you a question. How many of you struggled this week? Yep. So here's, I forgot to tell you last week, you will be tested on what you hear. Okay? I forgot to mention that. So, what I share with you in these next several weeks, you will be tested on in the days to come. Okay, I forgot to mention that last week. I forgot to prepare you. But you will be tested on what you get. Now, and the reason for that is not so you can get discouraged and say, man, I hate this. Some of you, I've given many of you bracelets. If you don't have a bracelet yet that says God's Own on it and you want one, meet me after church. I forgot to bring them with me up here today. But I had one lady a couple of years ago said, well, I quit wearing my bracelet because I couldn't stay in the God zone very long, and every time I looked at it, it would convict me. And so I just took it off. Hopefully, as you learn the teachings or learn what I'm going to be sharing with you, that you're going to begin putting them into practice. And I promise you this, if you begin putting them into practice, it's going to get easier and easier to put them into practice. But the difficulties that come into your life may be more pronounced. And the reason for that is the Lord wants you to grow up. Okay? He doesn't want you to stay a baby all your life. Cynthia and I were watching a documentary the other night where these children, one 22 years old, one I think 12 years old, and another one 3 years old, never grew up past the age of maybe 18 months old. They were trying to figure out what was going on, and they discovered that there was a gene in their DNA that was out of sorts. They don't know, there's nothing they can do about it right now. They haven't gone that far in their research, but they did discover that there's a gene out of sorts. And I know for each of those parents, they determined they really wanted their children to grow up, but they never did grow up. God doesn't want you to stay babies all your life. Okay? He doesn't want you to be immature all your life. And so He wants you to learn how to walk in the Spirit regardless of the situations that come your way. He wants you to learn how to trust in Him regardless of what's taking place in your life. Now that's easy to say, but it's more difficult to do. Not only are you being tested, but I'm being tested as well. Friday was a horrible day for me. And so, every time I preach these messages, the Lord says, okay, Brad, let's see how you're going to do. And I'll let you know this, I'm doing better than I used to. I'm growing up a little bit. I'm not where I need to be. But I am slowly getting where I'm not a baby any longer. The Lord wants you to grow up. We've determined last week that there are situations, there are circumstances that come into your life that will cause you to leave the God zone. It will cause you to walk out of the Spirit and get into the flesh. Okay? And if we're not careful, we allow our emotions to dictate to us and determine where we're going and the decisions we make, rather than the Holy Spirit dictating to us what decisions we're to make. Scripture says, let the peace of God channel you, or let Colossians 3:15. It's not coming. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Let the peace of God rule your heart. And if there's any other emotion that's ruling your heart other than the peace of God, then you're not going to be making good decisions. So, circumstances are one of the ways in life situations that we can get caught up and be taken out of the God zone. The second way in life circumstances is people. How many of you have ever been triggered out of the God zone by people? Okay, don't look at your wife or your husband. That is probably, you know, for each of us, for some reason, the Lord allows difficult people to come into our lives. He's allowed me to come into your life. And as difficult people come into our lives, man, oftentimes we have some angst against them. Maybe there's some irritation. Maybe there's some grudges that we're holding. Things that come into our life, and we're like, man, I don't even want to be around them. But God keeps bringing them around. There's a passage of Scripture, and you'll find it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that says we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So basically what he's saying here is your fight is not against people. Fight is not against people. Another thing he's saying is that we need to look past their actions and see what's causing them to behave the way they behave. What is underlying their behavior? Are there wounds of the heart that need to be addressed? Are there... You've heard that story, that little phrase, hurting people hurt people? Heard that? How accurate do you think that is? 100%. Hurting people hurt people. And here's what I've discovered. As long as I'm hurting, I'm going to hurt somebody. And the only way for me to not hurt somebody is to address the pain and the wounds that's in my own heart. Their behavior is dictated by the baggage that they're carrying or the spirits that they're packing. Okay? I want you to understand that. So as we go on into that, we're going to discover here in a minute that we need to pray for them. That's one of the things we need to do. And so rather than praying curses upon them, we pray what we discern is causing their behavior. Does that make sense? I'll get more into that in a second because I'm not quite there yet. So I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you right now. Who gives you the most difficulty? Did a name come up in your head? If it did, just kind of lift up your hand. All right. Thank you for being honest. So, when you think of that person, what rises up in you as you think of them? Is it good thoughts? Is it not so good thoughts? Is it like, man, I want to kill him? Sometimes. Here's what I've discovered. Oftentimes when the Lord brings somebody into my life and I get this stuff rising up in me, He's really not showing, He's not trying to show me their stuff. He's trying to show me my stuff. Because He goes on, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 6 probably more next week. I was told we need to shorten this message up because hour and a half sitting in one place is hard. So we're going. This is a two-part message. But what we discover is that there are people who cause us difficulty, and we need to address in prayer, but also through forgiveness. Okay. Now, forgiveness is not an act. We've heard of the act of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an act. It's a walk of life. It's a way of life. It's something that we can either choose that every day I'm going to walk in forgiveness, or I'm going to carry grudges and offenses in my life. I get to choose that. And if I choose to walk carrying grudges and offenses, it's going to affect the way I treat other people. So, I'm going to just warn you, this week you're going to have a test. And your test is going to be whether or not you're going to carry offenses or to forgive. That's your test. To be prepared, I'm going to ask you next week, how did you do in your test? Okay? Because you're going to be tested in this. So the question often is asked, what is forgiveness? And so in order to answer that question, I want to look at five passages of Scripture. The Bible is full of these passages, and if you want to do a study on yourself, you can do that. But I want to look at five passages of Scripture, three in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament, in regards to God's forgiveness toward us. And maybe it'll help us understand what forgiveness is by looking at how God views forgiveness. Is that fair? Okay, so the first one is found in Isaiah 1:18. And he says, come now, he's speaking to us, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. See, here's the truth. The truth is that every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us have stumbled, we've messed up, we've failed miserably. And every one of us are separated from God because of sin in our life. That's truth. But when we come before the Lord, He said, God wants us to settle this. He said, listen, let's settle this so that you don't have to carry that sin anymore. Let's get it right. Let's settle it. I don't want you to carry the sin anymore because it's hindering our relationship with one another. It's hindering our fellowship with one another. Come, let's talk about it. Let's get that resolved so that we can have that fellowship with one another. Let's settle it. I don't want your sins to be as scarlet. I don't want them to be as red like crimson. I don't want them to be as white as snow. I want them to be wiped out. Let's settle it. That's what God says. Another way, Jesus, he mentions, or in Isaiah 43:25, he says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Praise the Lord. I alone will blot out your sins and will never think about them again. Did you know that God is the only one who can blot out your sins? He's the only one. There's nobody else can do that. And again, all of us have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And some of us want to carry that sin. Some of us don't want to carry it, but we don't know how to get rid of it. You know, the Jews just had a Day of Atonement just like a few weeks ago. In the Jewish culture, every year they would go to the temple and they would offer sacrifices for the sin, shedding the blood of goats and sheep and bulls to resolve them of their sin. They no longer have a temple. How do they get absolved from their sin? It's the same way we do. The same way we do. There's no other way. And if they refuse to be absolved from their sin by going to Jesus Christ, then they still carry their sins. God says, I alone will blot out your sins and will not remember them against you anymore. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Psalm 103, 11 and 12. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. How far are the heavens above the earth? A long way. He said, my love for you who fear me is as high as the heavens are above the earth. And He goes on to say, He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How far is the east from the west? It's an infinity. He says that as far as the east is from the west, I'm removing your sins from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say in John 1:9. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to Acts 3:19 and 20. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord and will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. So there is a way that our sins are removed, and one of the ways, is repenting of our sins. Now that doesn't mean just confession. Pastor, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to confess my sins, and that should absolve me of my sins because I've confessed my sins. And therefore, I don't have to worry about it anymore. No, repentance is turning away from the sin. That's what repentance is. And this passage of Scripture, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. It's another translation. Repent, turn to God, and He will remove your sins from you. And it's through Jesus Christ that our guilt, our shame, our sins, the power of sin, is removed from us. It's no one else. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to Him, to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So this is an if-then statement. If we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, God says, I will forgive you, and I will cleanse you from all wickedness. Isn't that amazing? No matter what sin you've committed in your life, God says, if you have confessed to me and repent, I will remove it from you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at... at God's definition of forgiveness, we need to look at our own life and see how we're doing in our forgiveness as well. Okay? So you kind of have a picture of what forgiveness is by looking at those passages of Scripture concerning God and His view of us. All right. So, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is letting go of the offense. Scripture says, back up one to Luke 6, 27 through 28. What does forgiveness look like? It looks like this. But to you who are willing to listen, there were some people in Jesus' day that didn't want to listen. I'm sure that's not the case with any of us. But there are some people who didn't want to listen to what Jesus had to say. And so he's making a statement here. He says, now, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to hear it, I want to share something with you in regards to your enemies. The Old Testament says, if somebody pokes out your eye, poke out their eye. Somebody breaks your arm, break their arm. This is what Jesus said. If you're willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you. That's what forgiveness looks like. It's blotting out their transgressions against you. It's wiping their slate clean. It's coming to the point in your life where you say, I'm holding nothing against them anymore. And not only that, but you began to love them because you know that they're separated from God. And because of your love for them, and I'm not talking about, I just feel so much love for them. That's not what I'm talking about. But you began acting out of love toward them. You began doing things for them that will bless them rather than curse them. You're not calling down fire and brimstone on their head. You are actually doing things. You're talking to the Lord at night and saying, Lord, how can I bless this person who has been so nasty toward me? Because I want to bless them. I want to help them. And there are some of you in this congregation who do that. I know it. I've seen it. I see it. Because you don't want to hold any angst, any animosity, any grudges against anyone. And so Scripture says, love your enemies. I don't want to meddle, but maybe I got to meddle a little bit. So who have you been talking to about someone else? Other than God. That doesn't bring honor, blessing, love toward that person. Did you know that sometimes we can share prayer concerns that become gossip? Did you know that? Oh, would you just pray for my sister Sally? Do you know what she did? Oh, bless her heart. The Lord loves her. But we really got to pray for her because this is what's been going on. How loving is that? Not very loving. So, the person that came to mind a while ago when I asked you, who did the Lord bring to mind? Is that somebody you can begin to love and pray for and do good to and bless? If you can't, that means you haven't forgiven. Okay? know this is a very difficult sermon. I'm preaching to me just as well as I'm preaching to you. God says, I'm wiping away. So, Revelation, somewhere. Says that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat and that the books will be opened. And we're going to be judged out of the books. It doesn't tell us what the books are. But I think there's two books I think is going to be there. One is the Word of God. We'll be judged out of the Word. The other one is the book of remembrance of my sins. We're going to be judged out of the book, the Word of God, the book of remembrance of my sins. That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? But here's what's going to happen. When I stand before the God, before the Lord at judgment, the Lord's going to open the book of remembrance of my sins. You're going to say, huh, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. It's been blotted out. It's been erased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing in your book. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And my book would have been a lot larger than this. Yeah, but God has erased it all. God has erased it all. So the invitation this morning is twofold. Number one, have you ever had your sins erased by God? Have you ever received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior because He's the only sacrifice that can annul your sins? If you haven't, then today would be an awesome day for you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Today would be an awesome day for you to go away from this place with no guilt, no shame, no sin in your heart. Second part of this invitation is, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to wipe their slate clean so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven? There's a passage of Scripture. Next week, I want to talk about the 12 blessings that come from forgiveness. Okay? 12 blessings that come from forgiving others. This morning, I want to mention one. The blessing that comes is that if you forgive, God will forgive you. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, our Father will not forgive your sins. I want you to be forgiven. Now, I'm not saying that for you forgiving others, that's going to merit you grace to get into heaven. That's not what I'm saying. You can only receive, that only comes through receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the grace God pours out upon you when you receive Christ. But if you choose not to forgive and you choose to walk in offense, then God says, I can't forgive you. But if you choose to forgive, God says, I am now able to forgive you because you've forgiven us. As a Christian, it's imperative that if we're going to grow up, we have to forgive others. I'll encourage you again, this is a walk, daily walk with the Lord. It's not something, an act, well, I've done it once, I don't have to address it anymore. It's a daily walk.